Blog Talk Radio.
She's just a girl and she's on fire, hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire, filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.
Enjoying yourself on this beautiful sunny day here in Cincinnati, Ohio. It is 90 degrees outside, but I am inside in the air. So I hope you are enjoying this day. Welcome to the Focus Factor. I am Stacey Johnson, your host, and here at the Focus Factor, where we motivate a movement and empower you to soar. I am the founder of the Focus Factor and Women of Vision Global Network, so I welcome you again. And then my lovely co-host, Tiffany Hunter, founder of the X God Made Next. I don't believe Tiffany is on the line today, but we're going to give her a hearty hello today. And then let's go over our house rules for our show. So this is always an open floor. So we discuss many topics. We just ask that you respect each other's opinion. This is a safe place to communicate. We don't get political. We don't bash. And we don't spew out hate. We are here to encourage, inspire, and empower you so you can live your best life. Now, if you would like to call in and participate in these conversations, or you have something that you would like to say, or you just have a question, the call-in number is 516-595-8287. Again, that call-in number is 516-595-8287. Do a quick recap of last week's show, which was awesome sauce, people. We talked about starting over and redefining your life and what that looks like when we go through a lot of changes, and how do we really, really how do you really redefine your life? And I talked about how I'm in a season of starting everything over, and it's a beautiful place to be, but it's also it can be a hard place to be. So let's talk a little bit about, or do a quick recap of last week. So we talked about checks and balances, and one of those checks and balances was acceptance. Another one was acknowledgement, self-assessment, explore your relationship with yourself, really doing some inner searching of yourself and how you spend time with yourself and what you think about when you're spending time with yourself. We talked about getting centered with self. That's having those inward conversations and finding your peace in the midst of the change. We talked about letting go of the past, because if you don't let go of your past, you'll end up carrying it into your present. We also talked about learning from our mistakes and learning to fall forward. Learning from the mistakes means we're gonna bump our heads along the way. That's a part of life, but you learn from them. What can you get out of this thing that happened to me, instead of the woe is me and going all the way back to square one? We talked about replacing the negative thoughts with positive thoughts on a daily basis. And then we talked about the transformation process. I really think we got really in depth with that and moving forward. And we talked about evaluating your priorities and asking yourself which aspects of life should be treated with the most care first. So really putting things in the right priorities, and which qualities would you want to develop in your we talked about personality and character development. We talked about making a plan and spend some time each day pursuing your goals. And we also talked about stepping out of your comfort zone. And if my notes find me correct, the empowerment nuggets were find what you can and what you can get out of it, finding positive ways and seeking moral support, get creative, trust your own process, take time for yourself, what you need to do, stop responding, and we talked about doing your own research. And we also talked about being in the game, that we understand that fear paralyzes, but the empowerment nuggets were great. So if you want to listen to that show in detail, it is on the website. It was an awesome conversation. Like, most of our conversations are just totally awesome. So today, we want to shift a little bit, because we have been in a series developing your roadmap to your purpose, and all of these things are in your roadmap to your purpose. When we talk about knowing self and boundaries and different things like that. So today, I want to shift a little bit, and this is still kind of on the roadmap to your purpose, because when you start clearing the way or clearing the passage, or when you're on a road to your purpose and you have vision and you have ideas, you're not always going to end up where you started. And that means the people that started with you may not always be able to go with you. So some things you have to launch into by yourself. You can't always take the crowd. You can't always take your BFF. You can't always take those that say they support you. Some seasons you have to walk into by yourself and sometimes people are not always appreciative of you. I don't want to say leave them behind, but you moving on, you growing, or you moving forward. And then when that happens, those relationships become toxic. And we don't know toxic relationships when we're moving forward. We're just so used to it. So the topic today that I want to talk about is identifying toxic relationships. But before I get going, I'm going to open up my mic. I think I got my buddy Bob on the line, and I want him to give us a hearty hello and a good morning. Good morning, Bob.
G'day, Stephanie. It's 20 to 4 in the morning here, but I've got a nice fresh cup of coffee. And looking forward an interesting discussion on what is an important skill to learn. You know, how to attract healthy relationships.
So let's dig in, and if you have a question, just go ahead and type it in the chat, and then I'll open up your mic, okay? Good morning. We have another caller on the line. Before we get started, you want to say good morning?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Is that Tiffany? Hey, Tiffany, how are you?
It is. I am well. How are you?
Good. We gave you a hearty hello. We knew you weren't going to be on the line. Well, I didn't think you were going to be on the line, so we did say hello to you today. So I'm going to keep your mic open. Yeah, and you can go ahead and mute yourself out at will. So today I wanted to talk about identifying toxic relationships and talk about that for a minute, because sometimes when God is moving you in another direction, or your season change, or we talked about moving into your next, or when you really start redefining yourself and you're moving swiftly into your new place, we always have a tendency to take old people into a new place. And sometimes, most of the times, everybody is not going to be able to go with you to explore those new places, because we have a tendency to take old habits and old behaviors into things new. And sometimes when you drag those same people with you, you know, we end up taking them into that. And then most of the times when you're doing something new and you have people that have been with you and they're used to the old way, how you used to do things, they're not so easily ready to shift with you. And then those relationships can become toxic when you get all the negativity and different things like that. And then you start second guessing your new season and different things. So let's talk a little bit about what a toxic relationship is. And I pulled some of this information from Dr. Lillian Glass she has a book on toxic people. So it says toxic people is identified, or toxic relationship, any relationship between people who don't support each other, where there's a conflict, or one seems to undermine one another, where there's a competition, where there's disrespect and a lack of cohesiveness. A toxic relationship is consistently, when something is consistently unpleasing or draining for people in it, to the point where you always have a negative moment, or you always feel way down, and it outnumbers anything positive. So when you start weighing the relationship, when you have more negative situations than you have positive situations, that's a sure sign that those relationships are toxic. And these relationships, they don't even have to be romantic. You can have friend relationships that can end up toxic. You can have family relationships that can be toxic. You can have professional relationships that can be toxic as well. And sometimes toxic relationships are simply the result of an imperfect pairing. We like to say a church word when you have people that are just unequally yoked, or you're just connected to the wrong person. You were meant to mentor that person, but you weren't meant to be, you know, that person's friend and stay connected. Relationship ended up becoming toxic. It's just like the combination when you don't, we say when we don't gel, or when you don't vibe with somebody, or when you can't rock with somebody, whatever your term is, when the combination is wrong, you will feel it in your inner self when you don't have peace with that relationship. And usually it goes on to say that people that tend to be people pleasers grow up assuming that everybody is nice and everybody wants the best for you. Instead, a person with the people-pleasing personality sometimes attracts controlling people. And you know when a person is in controlling, when they force you to sacrifice your needs for theirs and constantly work for, when you constantly work for approval, but you never get it. So I'm saying that when you have people that always want to please other people, they tend to attract, abusive people or controlling people, and then they find themselves in situations where they're sacrificing everything for that person's approval or that person's gratitude or something from that person, and it never comes. And they're always in a place of giving and giving and giving and seeking for approval, but they never get it. And that type of relationship is very toxic. So I'm going to open up the mic. I said a whole lot before I go further. Tiffany, did you want to add anything to what a toxic relationship is or anything that I said thus far before I go on?
Everything that you said was actually great and so interesting. Even just hearing some of it, just even knowing the breakdown of people that they, the type of people that people create or attract to themselves and what they are looking for. And I thought that was really good, and it just took me back to some of the relationships that I had even carried years ago and the type of people you attract to you. And it's funny, you know, the saying that they say, you know, you are what you eat or, you know, choose to be around, and you start to find yourself in some of those, you start to find ways in yourself in some of those toxic relationships and why you're attracting that, those kind of people to you. And so I thought that was really good what you had said, and just what toxic relationships. I think in some of that we find some of our own behaviors as well, in some of those toxic relationships, and that goes well with insecurity, which I think you heard you mention, just still meeting a validation or people pleasing and waiting on someone to, you know, tell you what you're looking for and things like that. So I thought all of what you said was really great.
Bob, did you have anything that you wanted to add before I move on? I'm going to go ahead and open up your mic here. Did you want to add anything?
Yes, darling. Yeah, what I love about relationships in my life is they always show me what I need to work on within me. And how I steer my life now is whatever is not nurturing for me, I simply call the beast and I no longer feed the beast. So if I'm in a relationship where I don't feel valued, respected, loved, cherished, then, you know, and it feels, then what am I doing there? You know, so the choice is simple. The choice is simple for me anyway. And most people tend to marry their mums or their dads, don't they? Yeah, or get into a relationship similar to what their mum and dad was like.
I've heard that, where people tend to marry what their parents are like maybe something was either they cherished them and they want to keep that, you know, relationship going, so I'm going to marry somebody like my dad, or maybe they were missing that piece, or they didn't have a father figure and they're looking for that father figure. So I think that goes along with what Tiffany was saying, that insecurity plays a big role in that, because if you're in a relationship with a I'm gonna mute you out, Bob, just a little bit. I'm getting some feedback. If you're in a relationship with a partner and you're constantly looking for that partner every day to tell you how beautiful you are, how lovely you are, and you're looking for that validation, which, you know, every now and then there's nothing wrong with that, but when you have to feed off of that to feel a certain way, that can become toxic, because the moment they don't give you all of the attention that you're seeking, now, you know, now you might go into a state of depression, or you just may go into a deep mental state where you don't like yourself or something's wrong with yourself because they didn't tell you or they didn't pay you that much of attention or the attention that you think you needed on a daily basis, and that can become toxic. Okay, you say you adjusted your, you know, those can become toxic, yeah, because insecurity, I think, plays a big role, especially when you say people that have that people pleasing personality. And I like what Bob says, relationships show you what you need to work on within yourself, and people that have the people pleasing personality usually deal with a lot of insecurity and codependency, and they feel validated when they do for others. But the people-pleasing personality is also looking for validation. They're looking for affirmation. They're looking for approval. They're looking for that clap or that pat on the back. And when they don't get that, then they're on a slippery slope. Then, you know, when they're giving and doing, they're up on the roller coaster. But when they don't get the validation and the amen and the clap hands, then that's when the roller coaster goes downhill. And then you find them in a deep depression or a deep sense of insecurity and doubting themselves and things like that.
Really good. And I wanted to think of that because that was really good what Bob had mentioned about people finding themselves in a relationship where they're actually maybe looking for a father figure, looking for a mother figure. And, you know, I actually found myself in one of those relationships coming up in my teen years and didn't realize it until it was actually pointed out to me. And I was like, you know, I keep comparing, you know, this guy to this what I'm looking for out of a father, you know, what I'm looking for from a father relationship. And that's actually can be detrimental to your relationship because you're looking for something else out of them, and, you know, and then you create other problems versus what, you know, just knowing to yourself, like, that's not my father. And then it's like, you know, you're trying to create a relationship with your father out of a man that you want to be with. So that was really good that he had pointed that out, and I don't think a lot of people really realize that they are doing that. Guys, you know, that's looking for, you know, that want a woman that's like their mother, and then, you know, females that's looking for a guy that's like their father, or, you know, searching for it. And so I think that was really good that he had pointed that out, and the toxicity that comes from those type of relationships. With people that are looking for the father in their male. So that was really good at him pointing that out. I like that.
Bob?
Yeah, there's another dimension to this dynamic as well, because for me, the reason people tend to enter relationships like, you know, oh, I just married my mum. Whatever was happening during that person's childhood, the energy and dynamic between the parents feels like home. That was home. That was your emotional home during your formative years. And so you're carrying that message, that energy in your subconscious. And that's what drives you to enter in a relationship. So if your parents had a toxic relationship, then that feels like home to you, and that's what you're going to be attracted to. So, you know, there's that side to it. And also the problem with relationships is people go on, you know, looking for somebody to fill the holes within themselves. Now, I was a people pleaser for years until I suddenly realized that I was getting my measure of self-worth, my self-esteem, from everybody saying, good old Bob, good old Bob. But I wasn't living my life. I was spending my life and my time and my energy meeting the needs of others to get the pats on the back. Now, you know, and that's a recipe for disaster. Now, I'm still very helpful, and doing the work of getting out of codependent behavior was amazing. But now I'm still very helpful, but I just interpose one step. If somebody asks for my help, Peter will phone and say, oh, the combi's broken down. I used to say, right, Pete, I'll be right round. I might be in the middle of dinner, but I go and fix his combi and come back to a cold dinner. But now, when somebody calls, I say, well, Peter, I'm in the middle of dinner, mate. I can't get there right now. How about 2:30 this afternoon? So I've just interposed that one step. I meet my needs first, check in with me. What do I need to do here? And then go and help somebody else. Yeah, and it's just about... And the other thing that strikes me about relationships is... most people enter into a relationship unconsciously, and I've done this, you know, for most of my life. Hopefully not for the next one, because I've learned a bit. But, you know, you go to a dance or, you know, go to a bar, and your eyes connect with somebody across the room, and, you know, the chemicals are flying, and this is the one for me. And so you meet and you start this relationship. But it's like, it's that, the holes in me are attracted to the, you know, the gifts that you could, this other person can give me. And it's not until the honeymoon period's over, usually after about 6 months, that reality kicks in. Now, my proposal for a wholesome relationship would be, okay, you meet somebody and you get on well, and, you know, you find yourself compatible and it's comfortable, and so, well, yeah, I really like this lady. I wonder, you know, if there's a future. What path is she traveling? And what path am I traveling? And then just sit down with your intended sort of life partner, if you like, and just agree the terms and conditions of your relationship. Look, this is what I expect from a partner, you know, and make the relationship a conscious one rather than an awful surprise.
I think that is excellent in what you said. You know, when people look for people to fill the holes in them or the void, and that is so true that people tend to have a tendency to in relationships, whether it's friendships, whether it's jobs, whether it's romantic. If there's a void that's there, we tend to connect with those people that we think can make us feel those voids, to make us feel better. And I like what you said, Bob, about and I'm a paraphrase it, the way I understand it is whatever your energy is, that becomes your norm. So if you grew up in a house that was abusive, and then that's your energy. So you take that energy into your adulthood, because those are your founding memories. And sometimes you become that abusive person, not knowing whether it's verbal, whether it's psychological, or whether it's physical abuse, if that was the energy that you were so used to, and you try to fill that void to find or find somebody to fill that void, you tend to attract the same type of energy, and now you find yourself, you know, in a situation. And I also like what you said. You said most people enter to relationships unconsciously, and then the void in you attracts the void in me and vice versa. And now we have this relationship. And like you said, when chemistry is flying and all this stuff is flying, but then at the end of the day, when things calm down, now we realize that now we can't even communicate. We didn't set any boundaries. We didn't talk about which path that we were taking. We just got together because, you know, we both had a void. And now, when the people get older, now the relationship is toxic because now they didn't establish that in the beginning. And I think that people really don't understand how detrimental communication is in a relationship. Instead of, you know, now we're in a world where now everything is so electronic, and it really wasn't face-to-face then, so it's really not now with the social distancing or whatever. But because of these things or these barriers now we have to communicate through electronics and Zoom and Facebook and things like that, where you don't get that up close and personal, and there's a barrier, it seems like, with communication, because things can get lost or misunderstood through text messages. I have read a text messages and read it totally wrong just looking at it. And, wow, that can get so misconstrued in communication. Or somebody texts you all caps and all of a sudden you think they're hollering. And, like, no, my just all caps was on. So, you know, those things that, you know, I think we need to talk about is, you know, when a relationship, why is the relationship toxic? So we got a caller on the line, and I want to open up their line. Let's see here. Uh-oh. There we go. Caller 612, your mic is open. Did you have a question or a comment?
I had a comment.
Yes.
When Bob was talking about being a people pleaser, me coming out of being a people pleaser, I had read a book, and it was saying, you know, when you're so used to saying yes, your no has no value. And now that I'm learning who I am, defining myself, doing the things that I like to do, coming out of being a people pleaser, I know my no has value now, which I didn't know it had before. So things that I used to say yes to, I'm now saying no to, and I'm redefining who I am and learning who I am within myself.
Mm-hmm. Good. And we were saying that when that happens, then the people that you used to say yes to all the time may not be so happy for you, because even though you made some changes and now you have filled your void with the positive stuff, they still have a void for you to people please. And sometimes that can make the relationship toxic, because now they're not so happy about your no. So now you're going to feel kind of like the ripple in the water, per se. Everything is not when I was doing for you and at your beck and call, we were fine. But now the moment that I say no, it's a problem. Or I got to be suchy much, or I got to be this, or I got to be that. No, my no means no, and I have to take care of me. But as soon as you start to get rebuttal from your no, then you find out how toxic the relationship really was, because it was always one-sided.
Yeah. Thank you.
Tiffany, you want to comment?
All of this is so good. Oh, my goodness. I want to go back to the part about the hostile environment that people grow up in, and I think that's really good, because I think another thing that also creates a toxic relationship coming from that is the person that's always blaming other people and not realizing that they're dealing with their own problems inside of them, and they're the person that always wants to blame other people It's never their fault for anything. It's always someone else's fault. And so when we talk about the, you know, coming from a hostility place or an abusive place in our own home and in creating those relationships but always feeling like it's because somebody else, you know, that create that's toxic as well. But that person needs to be able to define in themselves what's going on and what they are bringing to the table in that toxic relationship, you know, instead of always trying to blame somebody else. But we find those type of people as well that's always blaming others. And so I had wanted to point that out, just knowing that exists with people that just never feel like it's their fault with anything.
But look at it this way too, that, you know, some of the warning signs from a, you know, hostile relationships or environments are like forms of violence, abuse, and harassment. But the indicators of toxic relationships can be, you know, much more subtle. Sometimes people don't even know that they are abusive when that has become their norm. Just like if you grow up in something, you think everybody's household is like that. If you grow up in it from a child and then now, you know, you're an adult or a teenager, you know, and you're getting ready to go out on your own, and you've lived this life in this house this one way until you get out and you see how other people live, subconsciously, this is how it is supposed to be done. So when you have a relationship, you're going to do what you were taught until you can be taught something different. So you do what you've been taught, and that has become your normal until somebody pulls your coattail and say, wait a minute, you're abusive. Wait a minute, you have an attitude problem. Wait a minute, you have no patience. You don't know how to – wait a minute, you have narcissistic behavior. It always can't be about you, you know, until that person is faced with someone that can be honest. And I believe the other Tiffany that was on the call a few weeks ago hit the nail on the head, that she did not know that she was abusive and nasty to her coworkers until the man that's her husband now pulled her coattail and said, wait a minute, you must not really like yourself. Because you nasty, you have an attitude problem, you're a bully, you're mean, you're this, you're that, you know, the things that she said. And then, like Bob said, she had to take a look within herself and say, wow, am I really, I mean, like we said before in the other call, when people pull your coattail and tell you about yourself, either you accept it or you don't, and you move on and you stay the same, or you really look inside yourself and say, hey, am I really a pleaser? Does my no really have no value? Am I really nasty and hateful? Am I snappy? Do I have narcissistic behavior? Is it always about me? Always about me? You know, until I think it takes a person or persons to really be honest. And that's what's missing, the honesty in communication to say, hey, this behavior, I don't like how you treat me, blah, 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 to help that person change. But I said all that to say, some people don't know they have the behaviors that they have. Some people don't know that they're in toxic relationships because that has become their norm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Caller, Tiffany, Bob, anybody want to comment before I go on? Wow.
Yeah. I was married for 13 years, 76, 29, and Pam and I, it was a marriage of two people pleasers. And everybody said, oh, you've got a beautiful marriage. And we had two children. Pam already had a 5-year-old daughter when we married. And then Jamie, our son, came along. And we worked together very effectively. And over the years, you know, we ended up with a big 2-story house and holidays in France, and, you know, and everybody's looking at us as, you know, a role model for a married couple. But the trouble with us both being people pleasers, we never, if I did something that pissed Pam off, then she wouldn't say anything about it. She'd swallow it. and I do the same. And so all we were doing was swallowing these feelings, and not getting to the truth, not sharing truth. And so after 13 years, we realized that we were living a magazine life. We weren't being authentic, and we started to snap at each other, you know, and make snide comments. And, you know, we couldn't be all nice and lovey-dovey anymore. And so we sat down, and this is just after we relocated to Australia, realized that our paths were diverging, realized that what was going on over the 13 years of living together and working so hard, we'd become strangers and we weren't dealing with truth. So we decided then to part before we hated each other, because an environment of hate wouldn't be any good for the kids. And that was a really hard decision to make, but it was the best thing for both parties to realize that no, our paths are diverging, you know. And I must have cried for 6 months, but I knew in my heart it was the right thing to do. And then Pam went back to the UK with the kids, and she took whatever she wanted and established a business with her sister, and she went on to blossom. And as I did, I went on to blossom in Australia. But all of this just points back to what we talked about weeks ago, is like, if you don't go back and heal the wounds of your childhood, you're carrying that weight on your shoulders. You will never find your authentic self if you're still living your childhood survival behaviors. So I can't express how important it is for people to just go back and heal the wounds of childhood. You can't let go of your past. You can't let go. How'd you let go of an elephant on your shoulders? I couldn't change my past, but I could heal it, and I did. And I would encourage everybody to go and do the work. And it's so liberating to discover who you were truly born to be. Okay, I'll shut up now.
That's some good stuff, because what I think I heard you say, that even though you and Pam were together, you were two people pleasers. And what you said was so good is that throughout the years, you would say things and she would swallow her feelings, and she would say things and you would swallow your feelings. So there was the communication, the sharing part was not there. So you weren't sharing how you really felt, how Pam made you feel, or how you made Pam feel. So you just swallowed it and suppressed everything. And when you suppress how you really feel, you're not really being authentic, your true authentic self, to tell this person, hey, I don't like how this made me feel. I don't like what you said. I don't like that snide remark. And you keep swallowing it, you keep swallowing. And like you said, after years go past, and I think you said 13 years went past, living the magazine life, you guys became strangers. You weren't friends anymore, because now you were so into people pleasing that your no had no value, and now you guys living as strangers, and the relationship crumbled. But I also heard you say that you cannot change your path, but you can heal it. And, you know, or if you don't, you'll never be your authentic self. You know, go back and heal the wounds of your childhood, because those behaviors came from somewhere. We adopted them from somewhere. So now let's talk about what are the warning signs of a toxic relationship. And one that you said was not being able to speak your truth or share your truth. I like that one. And before I go on, I'm going to, Tiffany, your mic is open, and caller, your mic is still open if you want to add anything before I go forward.
Well, I said a mouthful there. That was just great and so relatable with the avoidance of this. Well, for me, I used to avoid saying a lot of stuff because I just felt like there was no point. you know, and that's just in relation to what he was saying. That was a mouthful of what he said. I think he nailed it right. He nailed it all right there.
Caller 612, do you have anything you wanted to share?
Just when Bob was talking about going back and healing a wound, that's very important. That's a key thing. When you don't go back and heal them old wounds, it'll affect your everyday life and your adulthood and some of the behaviors you have. You don't even understand why you have them, and it's because you didn't heal the pain from your past.
Oh, that's good. So it affects your everyday life as an adult. That's good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what are some of the warning signs of a toxic relationship, because some people don't know that they're in one. And the first is simple. It's just persistent unhappiness. When you're just not happy in the relationship, no matter how hard you try, when there's no joy, if the relationship, if it stops bringing you joy and instead it consistently makes you sad, it makes you angry, you're always anxious, or you feel like you have sold out, then that's a sign that it may be toxic. Here again, that person has a certain energy and they feel like they're sucking you dry from all of your energy, then that could be a sign that the relationship is sick, or maybe you just need to establish some boundaries with the relationship, or you find yourself envious of other people and wondering why yours doesn't look like this, your relationships don't look like this, or the negativity shifts your mental health or personality or messes with your self-esteem. Those are red flags too. When you're in a relationship and when you come out of it, now you're feeling insecure just from being with a friend because she said some snide remarks or said something to you that made you feel a certain way, and now you can't speak, like Bob said, you can't speak your truth. And it's not always a romantic relationship where you can't speak your truth and be authentic. It can be friendships. It can be a job. You should be able to speak your truth. If not, if you're always, like he said, swallowing things, then that's another sure sign that the relationship is toxic. And, you know, and these relationships can cause clinical conditions like depression and anxiety and eating disorders. They can really cause you to go overboard in your feelings. If you swallow your emotions enough, it'll come out in your physical man. If you swallow your emotions, all the bad feelings, everything that you're feeling, if you keep swallowing, you know, you end up acting how you feel. So that's why some people get diagnosed with high blood pressure, because of the anxiety. Anxiety can lead to sometimes depression or eating disorders or feeling nervous all the time, uncomfortable when you're around certain people. If certain people make you nervous all the time when you're around them, and I'm not like a nervous, like, oh, I'm excited, but a nervousness where you always think you have to be great, or you always have to put up, or you always have to say the right thing, or you're always walking on eggshells to make sure that you don't put a ripple in the water, that's a red flag that relationship can be toxic. Hold on. We got another caller on the line. Before I go forward, caller 706, did you have a comment about what we're talking about, toxic relationships, identifying them, or warning signs?
I do. The one thing I know for relationships is where there is toxicity, there is an absence of love. So if you don't know what love is, if you don't understand the true definition of love, then you don't know what it is that you should be, you know, seeking in a relationship. That's why a relationship is able to become so toxic. In addition to that, when you are in a place where you think you deserve things that you do not deserve, then you open the door for a toxic relationship. That means that you'll just allow anything to come your way because you believe the lie that you said or did something that in turn warranted the response that was given to you. But when you, you know, love yourself, you know that this is not love, I didn't deserve that, and you push back. That's when, you know, victims come from a place of being a victim to a place of being, you know, victorious in a relationship mm-hmm. is when you know you did not deserve the thing that happened to you and that you did not, you know, expect it to come your way because of something you said or did, but instead you were just there to be loved and the other person was incapable of giving you that love that you deserve.
That's good. That's good. Tiffany? You want to respond, or you got any comments?
That's really good. I love what you said about understanding and knowing the true definition of love, because just as it was mentioned earlier on the show, for those that grew up in particular households, you know, I myself, you know, and I'm sure we all can attest to have been in a relationship where we all came from different rules, different, just a different lifestyle period of what morals and, you know, what morals and values was, you know, what their morals and values was, what our morals and values was coming up, what love was to them and what love looked like. And I think it's so awesome what you said and just finding that true definition of what love is, because ultimately it's only one definition of that unconditional love, and it's mm-hmm. so important for people to come to that place and realize what that unconditional love is, because of the simple fact that everybody comes from different backgrounds and learn what love looks like in their household differently. So I love that was very key for a person to just understand what the truth of love is, and they come to, I mean, that common place. If everybody can just come to that common place and say, okay, you know what, we both agree and we both know and understand that this is what love is, and then from that, you know, can start depicting out of themselves what does not line up with that definition. So I love that you said, I love.
I hear what you guys saying about, you know, growing up in a house of love, and I know there are different love languages in different homes, and I truly believe that, you know, personally, I grew up in a house that was love and warmth and all of those things, and when I got through into a relationship that was toxic, I had no clue that it was toxic because I was a people pleaser myself back in the day, and I just thought everybody was lovely and kind, and I knew what love was, but I didn't know what toxicity was. I had no clue about abuse. I had no clue about, you know, harassment or violence or whatever it was. And when it hits you, and you're stunned, learning how to identify and then seeing the signs, because I think sometimes people see the signs, but they don't pay attention. Some people don't pay attention to the signs, and some people really don't understand what's going on when a relationship turns toxic or becomes toxic, or you just didn't grow up in something like that. And it's like, wait a minute, what is this? And people that are people pleasers always try to end up getting stuck in it, trying to fix them and please them, hoping that they would change, and then the relationship will get worse. So I think it's kind of twofold. When you know what love is, you won't get into it. But then when you know what love is and you haven't been, you haven't been in those arenas before, that can just be a whole different story right there for some people. Anybody? caller 76?
Yeah. What struck
or Bob?
Me? Yeah, what struck me, Stephanie, the old adage that if you don't love yourself, how can you love somebody else? And so for me, that translates into a relationship that you can only love another person to the same level that you love yourself.
Oh, that's good. If you don't love yourself, how can you love somebody else?
Yeah. And so it's all about, you know, just loving yourself, not in a, you know, an egocentric way, but just appreciating the beautiful person that you are. You know, we're all beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We're all unique. We're all equal. We're all sovereign, you know. And it's our differences that make us beautiful. But how often have you heard a girl say, oh, I met this bloke the other day and he's good at this and he's good at that, but he does this and I don't like that, but I'll change that. Well, that ain't going to happen, you know. Because the only
right.
person that can change me is me.
Right.
You know, I'm the only one that can change me. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting topic, eh?
Yeah. And one of the other signs of a toxic relationship that people don't understand is when you start feeling bad for doing things on your own time, because you feel like you have to attend to your friends or your partner all the time. That's toxic. Mm-hmm. When you can go out and buy everything for everybody else, but you feel guilty if you buy yourself something, then somewhere in there it's toxic, because now, you know, here again, you're swallowing what you want, but here again, you're so giving to your partner or to your friends or to your job or to this person or whoever it is, you're so giving over here, but when it comes back to you, then now, you know, you start to feel bad, you start to feel guilty, you start to feel insecure, and that's toxic. That's not healthy, because like you said, how can you pour love out on everybody else, but you can't even love yourself that much back? Oops, did I say that? Yes, I did. Mm. Tiffany, callers, anybody want to say anything? Oops.
Did we say that, Bob?
We said that, Bob.
You did.
And you know, it goes back to, you, like Bob said, you cross the line when you're not being authentic. You cross the line when you're not your individual self anymore and you're giving everything to everybody else. That's crossing the line. I think I wrote in my book years ago, or I read this somewhere, if loving you means I'm hurting me, something's wrong. When I have to tend to you and I cross the line to the point I'm not my I lose my individuality. I'm not my own person. I can't tend to Stacy. I can't do the things that Stacy needs to do for her so I can survive. Now I'm sacrificing my peace to make sure you have peace. That's a problem, and that's toxic.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Tiffany?
I'm going there.
Callers? Yeah. Anybody?
Yes, I have something to add. You know, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I get my definition for what love is from the Bible, from a God who is love, as his word tells us. So he says when it comes to love, it's patient, it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it doesn't dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongdoing. So if I'm so busy, you know, loving others, this same definition of love applies to me and my life. So I'm not allowed to keep the records of wrongdoings in my life against me if I truly love myself. This is how I can heal myself and you know, make myself to be free. I can't be, you know, self-seeking. So as I apply the definition of love to others and the relationships that I have with others, I have to first apply the Bible's definition of love to myself and my own life to see if I truly love myself. If not, I'm having a toxic relationship with myself.
So what would you say to somebody that's not as well Bible versed as you, or doesn't know that particular scripture, or not saved, but they're a good person and they want a healthy relationship? How do they identify real love, or how would they identify something that's toxic or becoming toxic?
So we know we're born with a sense of right and wrong. You know when things are right and you know when things are wrong. It's just that easy. So typically when I find myself in a situation where I'm not thinking clearly, and I may not have a Bible, this was before we had Bible apps and all those wonderful things, I sit down with a piece of paper and I write, you know, right and wrong, or good and bad, and then I begin to keep a list of those things, of what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong, what is working and what's not working. So when it comes to a relationship, same thing. Every year I take a self-inventory of my life. I'm not currently in a relationship, but when I was, I did the same thing. Anybody who is in a relationship, you do yourself a disservice if on your anniversary you don't sit down and take out a piece of paper and write things down for your vision for the coming year of your relationship. So I don't do it in that sense, but I do it for my relationships with my families, with my friends, with my coworkers, and I have a vision for what those relationships are going to look like, because things in me change, and I may not be able to avail myself in the same way in the coming years. So I sit down and say, okay, these things I used to do, I'm not going to be able to do anymore, and these things I haven't done, I think I need to do, because they're still the same person they were when I first met them. So what I'm doing isn't affecting their lives for a greater change and to make them a better person. So the love I'm giving them isn't making a difference. And God's love always makes a difference. So we just have to be able to be in that place where we decide what we will and will not do for ourselves and for others, and write it down.
So I think I hear you saying that for those that are not Bible-based or going to church, that there are some basic steps that need to be taken as far as self-assessment and writing down the vision for the coming year or the coming months. But you have to have something higher than yourself to reach for, to obtain for, when it comes to right and wrong and what you will accept and what you won't accept. And to me, part of that has to deal with self-esteem and self-improvement, self-development, developing self. And when a person is developing themselves, then they take those self-assessments and they write a vision down, whether it's for their job, whether it's personally, whether it's in relationships or whatever. So, yeah, that's really good, identifying, you know, the right and the wrong. But I want to talk to the caller, 612, that talked about her yes, her no, having value as much as her yes. And my question to the caller was, how long did it take you to identify that you were in where you had toxic relationships because you were a people pleaser? How long did it take you?
It took me most of my life because I just learned it. But the thing was, now that I'm learning it, I see the signs now that I didn't see before. As before, when I was in the relationship, I seen the signs, but I ignored it. Now that I go back, I was like, okay, that was the sign, and I ignored that. This was the sign, and I ignored that. And I also learned that, you know, once you shut that door to that relationship, don't go open it back up, because that was my problem. I will always go back and open up the door and try to fix, you know, what was broken, and that necessary wasn't the case to go my job to go back and fix it. And that's how I found myself trying to go back into that people pleasing relationship that I fought so hard to get out of.
Now, that they usually say that, and this is key, that people in toxic relationships are often the last to realize that they're in one. So you said you've seen the signs, but if you don't know what the signs are, you really don't know what they mean. So what was the determining factor for you, or what was it that opened up your eyes to say, hey, this cannot be healthy. Hey, this cannot be right. It had to be something that clicked the light bulb on for you. Say, wait a minute, I'm such and such years old now. Wait a minute, what's really going on? What was the thing that was the light bulb for you?
I want to say when I started being uncomfortable in my own home.
Oh, go ahead.
And it's like I didn't want to come home because I had to come home to a house full of kids and another person that was invading my space. And it wasn't until they got out of my life and I removed them out of my life that I realized that, you know, enough is enough. When you don't got peace in your own home and when you sitting in a car don't want to go in your own house, that's a problem. The house that you pay bills in, you know, the house that you supposed to, you know, have peace and comfort in, I no longer had that in my own home. So that's when I realized something had to give.
Ooh, y'all getting heavy today. Tiffany, you have something to add to that? My.
Yeah, that is. That is heavy, and that is, wow, so good. And I think it's a lot of people that come to that place of, I mean, if you don't have peace and comfort in your own home, that's your home where you go and lay your head down at night, you know, then and it's a real problem that needs to be distinguished and figured out. But I'm loving everything that is being said. And you know, I was that person too where you had to, where that no had to have more value, because people take advantage of it. They take advantage of your yes in your relationship. That's just where one of the things where or what they call it, when that no, it becomes a dirty word, and you can never say no, and you can never or you always have to compromise yourself for
right.
As a person, instead of it just being what it is, and I'm just, I mean, all of what is just being said is just so real. You know, I've experienced it myself as well, and this is so good, so good.
And I wanted to
go ahead.
It was, you know, I didn't realize I had an identity crisis. I didn't know who I was, so I allowed anything to take place in my life. But once I realized who I was, my no started having value.
And then you just not feel bad about it anymore.
Right.
Feel bad about saying, you know, you would actually find yourself feeling bad about saying no. You know, to the point of, I better turn, you know, let me just go ahead and just do it. Let me just give in, because you feel bad about it. Like, you know, and that's just not, That's so unfair. And I think another thing too that people find themselves in a toxic relationship is when whatever you're going through, that person is going through something worse. You can never take a moment to yourself. You can never have a moment for yourself to get that full support that you need, because they always make it about them. And
that's good.
That I find that as being toxic too, where you just can't have that moment for you. You know, the focus, they always have to make the focus about them, regardless of what it is, and make sure they bring themselves in it as well. That's toxic.
Yeah, and a lot of people. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying I had to put that out there. Just talking about this is just such a. It's a heavy conversation, because it's so much that goes along with being in a toxic relationship that people really don't understand, and looking for the answers and don't even realize how many answers it is out there to a toxic relationship. And yeah, so that was one of the ones I wanted to point out.
Caller 706, you had a comment.
I do. This is great, and it's so beneficial, great topic. I just wanted to add, when it comes to discomfort, it's always a catalyst for change. Sometimes there's a little discomfort, and that's all it takes for us to say, I need better, I deserve better, I want better. Sometimes it takes a lot of feeling uncomfortable to push us and press us into a place where we go, you know what, this just does not work for me anymore. And that's what it comes down to. It's like the caller 612 said, you know, when I no longer wanted to go into my house, things had gotten that uncomfortable that pushed her into a place of saying, I need to make a decision. Am I going to continue to accept this, or am I going to say I deserve better than this and then walk it out? Because it's easy to say I want more, I deserve better, but to have the courage to do so doesn't come so easy.
Yeah, the courage to walk it out is the difficult part. When you realize that you're in something toxic, and I think, I believe Bob said that he cried for 3 weeks when they decided to go their separate ways, because the marriage of 13 years is a long time. And I believe he said he had children, and she went back to the UK and started a new life, and he started a new life. But in the midst of that break, in the midst of that breakup, that had to be devastating, you know, to come to the realization that, I have sacrificed my individual self, you know, and not being able to communicate, and now we're living as strangers. I know this is good for me, but it still hurts. I know I have to do this, but it's still affecting me to the point that now my feelings are so involved. They're way past involved. This is my partner, but I got to let this go. And now I have to get the courage to walk out alone so I can redefine who I am, and walking it out that so I can, you know, because I crossed some lines with myself that I need to regain some boundaries with myself. And that's hard to do, even when you realize that you're in something toxic, to actually let it go and start anew. Whoop, whoop.
Well, It was actually, I cried for about 6 months, actually.
Ooh, wait.
But I'd just like to share something. That I wrote a few years ago, and I call it The Ingredients of Love. So here we go, The Ingredients of Love. Integrity.
Now, you know you got to go slow because they're writing.
Validation. Mutual respect. Empathy. Trust. Honor. Humor, patience, courage, and responsibility. So if any of those ingredients are missing, it's not love, it's codependency.
Do it one more time.
Okay. The first ingredient, integrity, acceptance, validation, mutual respect, empathy, trust, honor, humor, which is a big one, patience, courage, and responsibility. And if you want to know what love is, as Sadhguru says, if you want to know what love is, get a dog, which is why I've got two dogs.
Integrity, acceptance, validation, mutual respect.
Respect.
What was the one after that?
Empathy.
You said honesty.
Trust. Honor. Humor.
Trust.
Patience. Courage and responsibility.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm sure you can add a few of your own ingredients to that.
Oh yeah. But that's a perfect mixture for a healthy relationship. And even if you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, even if you have 5 to 6 out of 10, that's still a good start. But when you can't put your finger on one of these that you or the other person is bringing to the table, then that's a sure sign that it's toxic. This is so good because the caller said she was suffering from an identity crisis and she didn't know who she was. So it's easy to pour into other people to fill the void of when you don't know who you are. So you're constantly filling the void for yourself and helping somebody else figure out who they are, being that person. But when she realized that, she made some changes. But I like what the other caller said, and I'm taking like lots of notes here. I like what she said, that discomfort is a catalyst for change. But the key thing is having the courage to walk that out. And for those of you that have been through it, and I've been through it myself, it takes a lot of courage to walk away. Mm-hmm. And like Bob said, it was 6 months of tears. Just the realization that it's over, but now I have to go my separate way and rekindle or reclaim myself again, you know. So those are some deep areas. And that leads to the last one that I want to talk about, is getting to the root of the problem of why we enter into toxic relationships, or getting into the root of the problem of, you know, that person and why they are like they are, you know, the root of the problem, looking back into self. We're back at self again, looking deep within. But I like the ingredient for love. And then I like the scripture, you know, about love is kind and love is patient and long-suffering, and it's not puffed up, you know, it's not vain. It doesn't speak of itself. So when you don't have these ingredients, and these should be some of the foundations of how you build your relationships, not just romantic, but how you build your friendships, how you build, you know, even your business relationships, what are they founded upon? So those things are very, very important. Any other questions and comments, Tiffany, or callers, before I go forward? Tiffany first.
No.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying no. You're good to go forward.
Okay. Caller 612, did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Not at this time.
Caller 706, did you have anything else?
I just wanted to remind everybody that we have to always teach people how to love us. We have to define what that is going to be, what it's going to, you know, look like, and then hold them to it.
That's good. Teach people how to love you. Bob, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, something I've learned is I've learned to give without an expectation of getting anything in return. Because so many people in a relationship, an unbalanced relationship, I used to do it. I'm giving so much and so much and so much in this relationship, but I'm not getting anything back. And that leads to, horrible feelings. But now I'm just, it is my choice, my responsibility on how much I give. But if you expect to get something back, well, that's a hiding to nowhere. You decide how much you want to give without expectation. Letting go of the outcome. Hey. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
This is a great show. I love it.
Thank you. Wow. You said letting go of the outcome. That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Well, we have did you want to add something, Tiffany?
No, I was writing that down. mentally and on paper, letting go of the outcome. And it just reminded me of a book I read about when your expectations don't meet that outcome. And he said, you know, letting go of the outcome. And it just took me to some places. That was awesome. And for me, just letting go of the outcome. And I almost was like, sometimes sabotage or risk ourselves mm-hmm. with an outcome we're expecting that we let go of the outcome.
You were going in and out. Uh-huh.
Taking my own mental notes. And then what the caller was saying, too, leaving with this, she was saying, you know, learning how to love people the way that they.
Mm-hmm.
We find ourselves the way that we think we should treat mm-hmm. them, what we think we know about them and how we should treat them and love them versus really come to a place of asking, you know, what do you need from me? You know, how can I love you? And just learning that love language about each other. This was, Bob said, an awesome show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We have a caller in the chat. They didn't call in, but they said I love women. Can I say that? And they get a question mark. So, yes, you can say that. If you wanted to call in and say anything, I've been having computer problems all day. And I was like, I am not canceling this show. This is just something else. And now my chat is messing up, so I can't get to the caller. This is so funny. But it's okay. It's good. Good. It's good. But we got like 7 minutes left, and I wanted to read a quote from the doctor that wrote this book. And I think her name is Gamble. And it says, this is the empowerment nugget I want to leave everybody. It says, love should never cost you your peace. It should never cost you your joy. It should never cost you your happiness. It says, Dr. Gamble says, if there's more negative in the situation than positive, then something has to change. Woo! This was an awesome show. We know that we cannot talk about this in 90 minutes, so this is just part one of identifying toxic relationships. Next week, we will have another topic, and I'm not going to tell you what that is, but I know off the top of my head right away. So you'll just have to tune in next Saturday, same time, at 1:30 here on the Focus Factor. I want to thank all the callers. I want to thank Bob, all the way from down under, and everybody that's in the chat for listening in. I want to thank my co-host, Tiffany. I want to thank just everybody for listening in. And I hope that you got some nuggets from today's show. So please have a wonderful day. And if you missed the show, please go to Blog Talk and go to Women of Vision Global Network, and it will be there in its entirety. Or you can also go to my website, StacyLJohnson.org, and listen to all the shows if you missed them. So I thank you very much for listening in, people. This is Stacy Johnson from The Focus Factor, where we build lives, where we empower, we encourage a movement so you can soar into your next. Have an awesome day, people.
K-Classic. They told you that you couldn't do it cause you're washed up. Didn't like them bad girls, said you should get your soul sucked. But I got this plan and you might not understand. I'ma go hard as I can and I'm gonna be the boss of it. Just watch me do this, put no limits, only swag on it. Walk right up to the front where I belong and brag on it. Go to the top. So